When we think about the joy in our lives, I'm afraid there's at times we let too many things get in the way of us having joy. We look at the things that we do in our lives and we look at ourselves on a daily basis and the things that we have to get done and the things we have to do, and we're supposed to be helping others. We're supposed to let our light shine, and we let too much get in the way of our joy. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. You know, it's not always easy to get done what we have to get done in a day. It's not always easy to try and accomplish the things we want to accomplish in this life. But there are things we have to remember in order to keep that from getting in the way. If we read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your life, or of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in a praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom you, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now I think if we look at the first part of this passage, we start to see an idea that supports this idea of joy unspeakable that we should have. It says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire. We think about these things and we look at what we have in this life and we value certain things. But what we have to remember is this is not our home. This is not the end goal. This is not what we work toward. Yet we put so much pressure on ourselves to accomplish those things that we forget what the overall goal is. We forget that our faith is what's valuable in this life. Our families are valuable in this life. And yet the things that we look at are many times are so materialistic. I need to accomplish this goal. I need to have this certain object, whether it be a home, whether it be the American dream is what we call it, to have home ownership. And there are reasons why we would do that. There are reasons why that would be smart. But when we place our focus and our entire lives around accomplishing those goals, that's when we lose our focus, and that's where we go wrong. Remember that our faith is what's important in this life, and the gift that we've been given by Christ to be right in God's eyes, what is important. And I think that's where we fall short at times. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have that one thing that no one can take from us but ourselves. Our faith and the joy that we have surrounding Christ and the gift that he's giving us. We find many things in this life to find reasons and excuses why we can't be joyous in our lives. And we look at many examples and we think back at different things and things that have happened in our lives or in things that examples that we see in the Bible as use those excuses is why we can't be joyous. Why do we do that? We bring things into our lives and we ruin our environment by doing that. Now, I don't think we do that consciously, but sometimes we allow that to happen to us. We look no further than the example of Eve. You know, I've heard people say, and sometimes maybe they're not too serious about it, but they say if Eve just hadn't bit that piece of fruit, how much of this could we have avoided? Now, there may be some truth to that statement. We have scripture that says that she brought sin into the world. But do we really think that that's something that's brought something negative into our lives? There was always a plan. There would be sin in our lives, and Christ came to take care of that for us. Let's notice a couple of things as we look at that example. In Genesis 3, in verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." What do we notice about these things? You know, if you take the absolute example out of the picture and you just look at what happened in this situation, it starts to sound pretty familiar, doesn't it? You know, it was a tree to be desired, just like the decisions we have to make when we are faced with temptation. You know, we're never tempted by things that we don't like. We're never tempted by things that we don't see value in or have any desire to have. It's the things that tempt us that we do see. That we may want. And even though we may know that that's wrong, we're tempted by it, aren't we? She looked at that tree, and for whatever reason, she was tempted by it. And it was to be desired. How is she so different than each of us when we make decisions? She wasn't really, was she? And if I can look at someone else and I see what they're tempted by and I see that they're short, where their shortcomings come from, and I look at that and I say, how in the world could they have fallen to that? But you know, they may look right back at me and say, how in the world could you be tempted by that? Why in the world would you fall to something like that? Something so undesirable. You see, as we look at one another, that's not what we want to measure our lives by. You don't want to measure your life by me. I don't want to measure my life by you. We're supposed to look to Christ for how we're to place that measurement. And that's the reason. Because we're all different. We're all tempted by different things. And just as Eve was tempted by such a thing that we see as so trivial, the things that we are tempted by can seem very trivial to others. Another statement we see with people that seem to lose joy in their lives, or another thing that people use as an excuse of why they can't be joyful, is people that look and they say, well, you know, if I just could have walked with Christ, if I just could have been with Him, this would be so much easier if He were here, if I was where He was. Then I wouldn't have all these temptations that I've got. I wouldn't have all these things that I'm a part of. You don't believe that, do you? You know, the Bible says that Christ was rejected of His generation. And those around Him were rejected by those. In Luke 17 and verse 24, it says, For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. But first must He suffer many things and be rejected of His generation. You know, Christ's presence wasn't exactly celebrated by everyone at that time, was it? You know, He came and He represented a life that was so different to the Jews. And if they were to follow Him, they would have had to change everything that they did on a daily basis. So much of their lives were centered around sacrifice and the things that they were supposed to do. And yet Christ came and He delivered a message that was different, that things were going to change, that the Jews were no longer necessarily going to be just God's people. And if you weren't one of them, you were just out of luck. It was a complete change that He represented. And it was not celebrated by all who were there. You know, when we look at our lives and we look at what goes on in this country and we think about controversial characters, there's a lot of hate involved in that. And you know, anybody that represents that type of change is not going to be liked by everyone. And even though the message that He brought was a message of peace and a message of love, He was hated for it. And so when we think about that message and we think about Him being here and how we would want to be with Him when He was here, think about the apostles. At least one denied Him 3 times and one betrayed Him. He was a controversial person because of the things that He taught, because of the things that He represented. And to say that somehow if we could have been apart with Him and we could have walked with Him at that time, how much easier our lives would be, that's just not so. That's not so at all. While some things may have been easier, while He maybe could have made it easier on your life, there are many things that would not have been. Christ Himself told them, they received not those who were sent. In Luke 13 and 34, we see an example of how they received Him. In Luke 13 and 34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He stretched forth His hand to everyone, but not all of them received Him. And if you think about the people that He touched and the people that followed Him, as an overall number or as a percentage of those people, it was probably very low because of the life that the Jews lived and the way that they viewed Him. The ones here it talks about that were sent with a message of peace and hope were met with hate and disgust. Christ would also point out that he would be rejected of his own. In John 1 and verse 10, we read there, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." You know, when we think about that, and we think about what we're actually saying, we think it would be so much easier if he were here and if we walked with him. As we look about that and we consider the things that he dealt with when he was here and those that are around him that followed him, what they dealt with when they were here, we see that that statement's just not true. I understand that leading a Christian life's not easy, and it's unfathomable to think about doing it alone. But that's why we come here. That's why we come together, so that those of us who are like-minded, who strive to serve God, we can draw from one another's strength in those times that we feel weakness. So don't be fooled to think that walking with Christ meant you had an easy life. It just didn't. Those individuals did not have easy lives. And they were constantly faced with hate towards them because of the following Jesus. The joy in our lives has to come from the hope represented, that Jesus represented, and not the idea that him physically being here would make life easier. One other example we want to look at, one thing we hear people say that they think might make life easier, and I think it's an important one that we look at, because we can fall to thinking these things in our lives and think, well, you know, it's hard for me to be joyful because I just don't have these things in my life. What about Paul? You know, we've seen people talk about Paul and the things that happened to him, and they think that Paul was miraculously called. Why can't I be called that way? Why can't we have Jesus come down and in the form of a light or whatever the case is, why can't he come and call me just as he did at Paul? And maybe we don't think of those things through when we think about those things. You know, you're right. Paul was called miraculously. But that's a different situation. If we look at the facts surrounding that situation, I think you see that it doesn't matter if he was called in that way or not. We all have the same opportunities. In Acts 9 and verse 4, it says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Thou, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You know, the events we read here are miraculous. They are. And Paul is a man who had done many horrible things to persecute Christians. And now he's faced with the very one that he chose to persecute. In Acts 8 and verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." That was his goal. That's what Paul did. And he thought he was doing it for the right reasons, but he wasn't. So to think that this miraculous situation happened to him and he's so happy that it's come upon him, that wouldn't have been so. Because the very one that he sought to persecute, the very one that he sought to stamp out from society, he was now faced with. And he had to realize and admit that Jesus was here, that God had sent Jesus, and he had persecuted him for this whole time. You know, God had a very specific plan for Paul. He did. It was a plan that would not have been easy, even for an average Gentile or Jew who might have been called. Paul's status among the Jews would have made his task even that much more difficult. You know, Paul had status. If we look at him, and even though we hate the things that he did, Paul hated the things he did, he had status among the Jews. There was a reason he was the one that sought to do that. But he would be hated by the Jews because of his change of heart. And Christians of that time would continue to fear him because of his reputation. You know, what would we do if someone walked through this door that we knew persecuted Christians and maybe had committed murder, had committed people to prison just for their beliefs? What if that person walked through the back door? We might have a little fear, mightn't we? And that's what Paul dealt with. He had made that change. He had made that change driven by God. But people might not soon forget his reputation. You know, he would live knowing that what he had thought was right had turned out to actually be persecution of God and his people. How bad would that be to have such conviction? You know, the things that he did were not right, but he was convicted that he felt like he was doing the right things. How would it be in our lives to put that much effort into something and put our heart into something that like that, only find out it was completely wrong and we had completely gone against what God wanted of us in our lives? You know, that there would be a lot of guilt surrounding that. And Paul lived with that. But many want a sign of some kind, don't we? We think it would be so much easier if there was a sign to tell us this or that. And many are looking for that. And they allow that to take their joy. Because they felt if they just knew for sure. You know, that goes back to our faith that we talked about. The faith that we have that God is there. You know, the sign that we're looking for is the same sign that's always been there, repeated in God's word, and it's the plan of salvation. That we can go through Christ and access his blood to cover our sins and make our lives right with God. That's what we're looking for. And the sign's always been there, and that sign is stretched to every person in the world. So to think that one person should get a sign and maybe somebody else should have to rely on that faith, that's not something we should rely on or look to have a reason for us not to be joyful in this life. You know, God always had a plan for us to have joy in our lives. He did. And unfortunately, some people we see, they see that they go against what God wants from them in their lives, and they say, well, God would want me to be happy. And he does. He wants every one of us to be happy. He wants us to have joy in our lives. But he wants us to do it in the way that he had intended. In Proverbs 29 and verse 6, it says, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. You know, we look at that. We look at those individuals that it talks about there. Excuse me. Of the evil man. And the things that they do and the things that they think are right and the things that they want to do. But there's a snare there. Joy won't come from those things. Joy will come from doing what God would have us to do and striving to serve him. Everything we do in this life should be done with rejoicing to God. And the problem is we worry too much about what others are doing, I think, at times. You know, we worry what others have or how they spend it and what they do with it. Are they Christian enough? Do they think they're more Christian than me? Are they abusing their liberties? We look at all of these things. Sometimes we consider them too much. And we allow that to rob the joy out of our lives. And we can get caught up resenting that we believe what we believe is right just because someone else doesn't do exactly like us, don't we? They don't live just exactly like me. And we get caught up and concentrate on that until it robs us of the joy that we should have. If we believe something is right, then we shouldn't question it. We should do it. If we want to live a constant dissatisfaction, then allow our happiness to depend on what everyone else is doing. If we allow those others to have that kind of control in our life, then we'll never be joyful. You know, it's interesting, we tell children, if everybody else was jumping off a cliff, would you do it too? We say that, don't we? We've been told that when we were kids and we grow up and we finally realize, you know what? That's right. That's right. Yet we look at others and we allow them to take from us something that we have the power to put joy in our lives. And we allow their actions to have that sort of effect on us. In Philippians 2 and 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're taught, isn't it? When we know things to be right, then that's what we should do. And we have to work that out. And I'm not responsible for you, and you're not responsible for me. And when we think about that, What a blessing. I don't have to be responsible for anyone else. But you know what? There are things there that I have to take care of on my own, don't I? I have to make sure that I'm right with God. I have to make sure that I'm living in obedience to Him. I have to make sure that I take responsibility for myself. And there's no better thing that there could be than that right there. I can't ride my dad's coattails to heaven. The good thing is I can't ride them anywhere else. It's up to me and it's my responsibility. We can't control those around us any more than we can control Eve, Paul, or the ability to walk physically with Christ. We just can't control those things. And if the joy in our lives rely on that, on what those around about us are doing, then we'll never be happy. We can't be. We can't allow our happiness to rely on those around us because we can't control what they do. Someone will always have more money, a better job, be faster, be stronger, be more popular. Not only should we not let those things dictate our happiness, but we should be happy for those that do have those accomplishments in their lives. When we look around at one another, can we not be happy for one another? Can we not find joy in accomplishments of the people around us? I mean, there's so much to be thankful for in this congregation. We're so blessed to have so many different people that have so many different talents. And we see the accomplishments that they make. We should draw happiness and be joyful in that. Because we share a common goal and we share a common purpose through Christ. If we can't be happy for one another, then how can we be happy with our own lives? You know, too many times that's the problem. We grow unhappy with our own lives and we look at others and try to find a reason. Why am I so unhappy in this? Why am I robbed of this joy? And it's because we're unhappy with ourselves. And that could be that we're not following Christ and we have guilt in our lives. And the good news is we have access to Jesus. We have access to Him through baptism. And then we have continued access through prayer. We have a way to take care of that guilt. We have a way to take care of those shortcomings through Him. It's our duty to rejoice as Christians. In Psalms 118 and verse 24, it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And we hear this passage a lot, don't we? But too many times we do that and we look at that passage and we think we need to live that passage. But a lot of times it reads more like, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it so long as everything in it goes exactly the way I want." There's too much of that with us. We allow those things to come in our lives, and I think it's something that we need to consider, that the joy has to come from the right place, and hope and joy should come through Christ, because this world is not our end goal. And if we're too tied up in not accomplishing this or not meeting this goal physically, then we'll forget that in our lives. You know, I'm not naive. I know we deal with things in this life that impact not only us, but our families as well. And those things can consume us at times. But we have to overcome those things too. We have to put those things into perspective and understand that there's a bigger picture here. And there's something more that Jesus wanted from us and more that God has expectations for us. In Romans 12 and 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." We rejoice in that hope no matter what. But then it says, be patient in tribulation. Those times that those things come, the things in this life that get in the way of us concentrating on what's important, be patient in those times, never forgetting the hope that we have through Christ. Psalms 105 and verse 3 says, "There glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Do we want to be happy in the way God intended for us? You know, He never said that we're never going to see a bad day. He never said that we're never going to face the undesirable consequences. We've never been taught that. We know we're going to face those things. Those times are going to come. Sickness is going to come. Financial hard times may come. It could be a million different things that may come in our lives. But we have to rejoice in that hope. We have to glory in His name and seek Him as our overall goal. You know, don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Worrying about what they're doing, worrying about what they have, those things can only lead us to be unjoyful and unhappy. Find what's right in your life. We need to take more time and find what's right in our life. What do I have going on that I should be happy for, that I should be thankful for, that I should be joyous for, that I should celebrate? Take more time to find what's right going on in your life. Because too many times we spend way more time than we should thinking about what's wrong in our lives.